Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. The question from yesterday's juz is about Surah Al-Ahqaf. So who is the prophet at the center of the story of Al-Ahqaf? Go ahead and answer the question, inshallah ta'ala, below. And of course, bidnillahi ta'ala, as we are now in these last blessed nights of Ramadan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all and allow us to be amongst those who catch Laylatul Qadr. I want to remind you all, inshallah ta'ala, to please consider yaqeen for a donation amongst the many worthy efforts that are out there. I hope you've seen, inshallah ta'ala, the increase in the quality of the content, the ihsan that we put into what we do, inshallah ta'ala, all with your support. And bidnillahi ta'ala, it's not enough to you to want to be a part of the yaqeen family, inshallah ta'ala. So with these last few nights, I want to remind you all, inshallah ta'ala, with whatever you can, ends Ramadan strong, inshallah ta'ala, and part of that is with your sadaqah, bidnillahi ta'ala. With that being said, and in the 27th juz, we're blessed to have, of course, Sheikh Abdullah Dura as always, and for the first time as well, Sister Susie Ismail, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, who have had the pleasure of speaking alongside at many, many conferences, alhamdulillah, also refugee camps together, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Sister Susie Ismail has Cornerstone Counseling and really, you know, offers a very unique alhamdulillah rabbil alamin perspective. And Orthodox Muslim in this space is extremely rare. And someone that comes to this space of counseling, this very complicated space of counseling, with that lens is very important, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. So jazakumullah khairan for all that you do, and welcome to Quran 30 for 30. Barakallahu fikum. It's good to have you with us, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. And of course, also part of New Jersey. So Sister Susie would like to remind everyone that New Jersey is also special. since we always talk about Dallas, alhamdulillah, we've had many guests from New Jersey this time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the Muslims wherever they may be. Allahumma ameen. So inshallah ta'ala, with that, we'll go ahead and get started, bidnillah. So in Juz 27, I want to kind of build off of what we talked about in Juz 26. And the theme of the last few ajza is really answering the question, you know, why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just give everyone the exact same thing? In Juz 25, a lot of that was about this dunya. Why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just give everyone the same thing in this dunya? In Juz 26, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ. Is the one who stands up and prays at night, those believers who are upon clear proof from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like those who have beautified their own evil deeds, or whose sins have been made beautiful to them, and who follow their desires. And so it's not fair for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give everyone the same thing in this life, nor is it fair for everyone to be given the same thing in the next life. But here in Juz 27, the verse in Surah Al-Rahman, and I know we're going to be talking about Surah Al-Rahman, this beautiful surah that really is deep in the hearts of many of the believers. Verse 60 of Surah Al-Rahman brings it all home. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Is there any reward for excellence except for excellence? هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. And this comes from a very core belief here that you will never do good for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that He will repay you with better, period. In this dunya, in the next. The very fact that you're here, the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does for you while you're here, in fact, the favor of you being here in the first place, means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ihsan, His excellence towards you, has already outdone any excellent deed you do in response. And so, you know, as we learn from the body of ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you go back and you watch the Dhul-Hijjah series where we talked about the blessings of Alhamdulillah, one of the things we learned from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that, you know, the Alhamdulillah that we give is better than what we were thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for in the first place. Because what Allah gives in response to the Alhamdulillah is better than the ni'mah, the blessing that caused you to thank Him in the first place. And if Allah Azza wa Jal only gave you the blessing to thank Him for that blessing, then that in and of itself is an ihsan from Him to you, because who put you here to be able to say Alhamdulillah in the first place and gave you the ability to say Alhamdulillah in the first place? There is not a single blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you were to weigh it against all of your dhikr, and I know in these last 10 nights, and especially we are more in a state of dhikr in these 10 nights than any other time of the year, there is nothing that would be equal to one ni'mah, the ni'mah of al-basar, the ni'mah of eyesight, the ni'mah of hearing, the ni'mah of our faculties, the ni'mah of our existence. And that really shows itself with our good deeds as well. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. One Laylatul Qadr, one night is better than 1,000 months. Who decided to make that night better than 1,000 months of worship for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hal jaza'ul ihsan illa al-ihsan. One of the things about Surah Al-Rahman, and I know Sister Susie is going to reflect on Surah Al-Rahman as well. The first part of Surah Al-Rahman is benefit to all of mankind. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set up all of these systems for all of humanity. And that is ihsan's, or that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ihsan to all of humanity. Even with those who show no ihsan to Him, they still benefit from the sun, they still benefit from the moon, they still benefit from the trees, they still benefit from the water. Even with those who have no ihsan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jalla shows them ihsan, especially with the beginning part of Surah Al-Rahman. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to do what in Surah Al-Rahman? He elaborates on the beauties of Al-Jannah, the beauties of paradise. And this is how Allah shows ihsan to the people of ihsan, excellence to the people of excellence. And that ihsan, even to the people of ihsan, that excellence even to the people of excellence is far greater than anything they could have earned on their own. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is showing you, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Nothing that you do of good will not be met with better. Nothing that you do of good will not be met with better. And of course, in this regard, you know, when the companions asked the Prophet ﷺ about the ayah, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُ الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَ. For those who do acts of good, of excellence, is excellence in return and more. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what is more than al-husna? We know about excellence being Jannah, but what's more than that? And the Prophet ﷺ taught, An-nadharu ila wajhillah, to be able to look at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gaze at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to absorb that beauty is greater than any gift that we could ever ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And so there is ihsan in our existence, ihsan in this dunya, to those who don't deserve it at all, and ihsan in the hereafter that is greater than anything that you could have done to earn that paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of ihsan and allow us to receive that ihsan in the hereafter as well. And we praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ihsan that He shows to us at all times, even though we have done nothing to deserve it. Allahumma ameen. Shaykh Abdullah, tafadhal.
Jazakumullah khair. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'd. I love the word ihsan because, you know, as we know, it means excellence and not perfection, as you've mentioned numerous times. But also from the origin of the word comes from that which is beautiful. You know, when one does their best, it's a beautiful thing. We have our children, parents, you know, when you try your best, it's really the effort that counts. And really what can be quote unquote difficult at times, depending on our perception, every challenge can be looked at as an opportunity, is really the concept of patience. Because patience is a part of your ihsan, of being a muhsin. You're patient with the predestination of Allah. You're patient with doing the good deeds. You're patient with staying away from the evil deeds. You're patient with the predestination of Allah. As has been mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala when talking about the three types of patience, I want to capitalize on a verse in the chapter of At-Tur, verses number 48 and 49. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a tasliyah. He basically is giving a form of consolation to remind us that there will be people that will talk badly about you. There will be people that have ulterior motives. There will be people that are not there for your benefits. You, because of your religion, because of what you believe, because of what you represent, who you are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the advice or the order. He says, be patient then, O Prophet, until the judgment of your Lord comes, for surely you are before our eyes or in our protection, our hiv, our protection of you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wasbir, be patient. And patient is important. Patient does not mean sitting in your chair and not doing anything. Patience means you're patient with what Allah has put in front of you, but you use the faculties that Allah has given you for good, doing your best with it, with ihsan. Taking it to its capacity, bismillah, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some scholars have mentioned when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Be patient with what Allah has legislated. يَعْنِي عَلَى حُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. So whatever Allah has legislated and put in front of you, you're patient with that. you are acting in accordance to the deen of Islam, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or it can also mean, be patient until the legislation of Allah comes, until yahkum Allahu bainana, until we see what Allah has promised. Important, that patience that you have is with yaqeen. It's certain, you have certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there for the believers. He will help the believers. He will help our brothers and sisters that are suffering all around the world. And He will protect them. Primarily, He will protect their iman in understanding who He is. And those as us in the world now that may not be facing what our brothers and sisters in, for instance, in Gaza are facing, we are patient with what we see on the television, but that doesn't mean we do not call out and call things out and call out the oppression of what takes place all around the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. And this is like the illa, or the reason behind the order. When Allah said, be patient for our reason, or for our ruling, or until the ruling comes, why? For verily you are in our protection. We see the name Al-Hafiz, that Allah is the one that preserves you. He is preserving us now in ways that we know and ways that we don't. And that's what's so beautiful about Al-Alim Al-Khabir, the all-knowledgeable, the all-wise and aware of all the minutiae, the small things. We are patient because we know Allah had, has, and will have it covered, manifested through all of His beautiful names and attributes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحْهُ وَأَدْبَارُ النُّجُومِ. He says, وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ. And praise Him, glorify Him when you stand. And some scholars mentioned when you stand, or when you stand in the prayer. So the tasbih is the what they call tanzih. It is saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free, or believing that He is unlike any of His creation. And due to Him being unlike any of His creation, you glorify Him, you magnify Him, you praise Him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحْهُ وَأَدْبَارُ النُّجُومِ. And from the nighttime, celebrate His praises at night and the retreat of the stars. As we see in Laylatul Qadr, it is important for us to stand in prayer. It's to stand in praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying Him. Not only with tasbih, as some scholars mentioned, tasbih can be am. You're glorifying Him can be generalized by glorifying Him in any way. And we know praying fi nashi'atil layl, in the dark depths of the night, is one of the best times to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa adbaru nujum. And at the retreat of the stars, scholars mention fajr time, to pray in fajr. So remembering this patience with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what is needed for us to be of those of ihsan, because that ihsan is a sign of recognition of the ayat and signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, we give it to our sister. MashaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her. Jazakumullah khair.
Jazakallahu khair, Shaykh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. And thank you for inviting me to be part of this program. You know, when Sister Noor had first reached out to me to connect and ask me what juz I wanted to cover, my mind immediately went to the second juz of the Qur'an, and particularly verse 155 in Surah Al-Baqarah. And it was a verse that consistently, when I'm struggling, when I'm going through tests, you know, it reminds me that Allah Azza wa Jal will test us, because in that verse, Allah tells us that we will be tested, and we'll be tested with something of fear and something of hunger and something of a loss of life and wealth. But there are glad tidings that are given to those who are patient. And that speaks to what you were speaking to, Sheikh Abdullah, sabr and the importance of sabr and the ihsan, the doing that which is good. And so I had gotten back to the sister and told her, this is the juz I will cover. And she said, oh no, you know, someone's already taken that juz, choose another juz. And I said, you know what, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, there's many gems in the Quran, you know, let me go to another juz. And so I was already thinking about what verses of the Qur'an bring comfort to my heart when I'm going through the most difficult tests. And of course, the next verse that came immediately to my mind was the verse in Surah Maryam, where Maryam alayhi salam calls out in the throes of labor, in her difficulty, and says, يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتَّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَقُنْتَ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًّا. Oh, if only I had passed or had died before this and had been of those who were forgotten. And I said, this is it. This is the verse I want to cover, particularly because there is a voice that calls to her, مِنْ تَحْتِهَا, after she cries out in pain, saying, لَا تَحْزَنِي, do not be sad. And so I went back to the sister. I said, this is it. This is the verse that I want to cover. And she said, oh, you know what? I'm so sorry. Someone else took that chapter. Choose another chapter. And I started to go through the Quran and I began to realize that there are so many different verses that every time I personally have gone through difficulty, or as I speak to, you know, many of our clients who have struggles with anxiety, with depression, with loss, with grief, as we look to the suffering that happens around the world, and there's so many verses that speak to that pain, that give us comfort. And so, you know, I immediately found myself going to Surah Al-Qasas, one of my favorite surahs in the Quran, in which we go through the process of understanding the stories of the prophets, the tribulations they faced, and particularly the verses where the mother of Musa is guided towards putting her infant, who she is worried about, who she fears for his life, putting him in a basket. The basket takes Musa alayhi salam down a river directly to where the harm we would anticipate it to be, and Allah protects him. And in those verses, Allah reminds the mother of Musa alayhi salam that because her heart ached, because there was so much pain, that he returned Musa to her. And I said, this is it. This is the chapter I'm going to do. I'm going to do Juz 20. And subhanAllah, you know, I was asked again to shift gears and choose a different juz, because, you know, we were going to do the last few ajzat for the group in New Jersey. So alhamdulillah, you know, I found myself again, you know, taking this time, and it's time that sometimes we don't always carve out, to go through the Mus'haf, to go through the Qur'an, and really ask myself, you know, what verses of the Qur'an connect to my heart? And it was in every chapter, in every juz, there were verses that brought comfort. And every time I would read a verse, I would think of something personal that happened in my life. You know, I had experienced many pregnancy losses. We had buried our first daughter soon after her birth. And every time I would turn a page in the Quran, I would say, this is the ayah that helped me through. And every time I would say, subhanAllah, Allah truly is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That it is His rahmah that has guided me through so many tests and difficulties, and it is His rahmah that guides so many through the tests and difficulties they go through. And then that's where I found the chapter I wanted to cover, Surah Ar-Rahman. Because in that surah, we are reminded consistently of how Allah's rahmah surrounds us, and sometimes we don't recognize the rahmah in the sun, the rahmah in the rain, the rahmah in that nature that surrounds us. And yet it is in that chapter that 31 times Allah Azza wa Jal repeats, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? And it was in that moment, as I read those verses, that I thought, subhanAllah, one of the greatest favors that sometimes we deny is the Qur'an itself. That the Qur'an itself is a comfort, and that as we read throughout the month of Ramadan, and particularly in Ramadan, as we amp up our reading of the Qur'an, how often do we stop and ask ourselves, what is my relationship with the Qur'an? Do I see the favor in this gift that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted us? فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. And the favor of the Qur'an, I truly believe, is the greatest of all favors that we've been given.
SubhanAllah. You know, one of the things that, and jazakumullah khair for the beautiful reflection, is amazing about Surah Ar-Rahman. If you just think about, like if you did a visual map of it, Ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an, he taught the Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, mm-hmm. He created human beings, allamahu al-bayan, and then taught him how to speak. So it's like the Qur'an came down before you physically came into being. Mm-hmm. The guidance is there to come into you and then to inspire from you guided words, guided expression. Because the best form of expression is that which is guided by revelation. And even greater than your creation is His revelation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the favor of the Qur'an, as you're mentioning. And sometimes it's like you think about the absence of something. You know, when they say that you wouldn't appreciate a blessing until you lose mm-hmm. it. Can you imagine your life without the Qur'an? Can you imagine your life without the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Can you imagine your life without Islam? Can you imagine your life without Iman? So we say, Alhamdulillahi ala ni'matil Iman, Alhamdulillahi ala ni'matil Qur'an, Alhamdulillahi ala ni'matil Islam, Alhamdulillahi ala ni'matil Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even say, you know, وَكَفَى بِهَا مِنْ ni'mah. That's enough of a blessing. If I had no other blessing but this one, Alhamdulillah, mm-hmm. that's in and of itself sufficient. I think that's part of what you're mentioning here, that we would never be able to appreciate fully the blessings of even the things that we see as blessings. Do we really know all that we get out of these trees? Do we really know all that we get out of these creations around us? Do we really understand the full extent of that blessing? Absolutely not. And the same is true for divine revelation. And subhanAllah, I was thinking about what you said, Shaykh, patience.
Yeah.
With all of the ni'am, all of the blessings, the Prophet ﷺ said, no one is given a blessing. خَيْرٌ وَأَوْسَعْ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. That's better or more extensive than patience.
Yeah.
That is the greatest blessing that you could be given. Can anyone have ihsan without being patient? Of course not. Because you'll be bitter, you'll worship Allah. If you even worship Allah at that point without patience, you worship Allah from a place of bitterness.
Yeah.
If you have patience, you're inspired towards the extra acts of ihsan, and the greatest form of ihsan from us in terms of worship is qiyam al-layl, the night prayer.
Yeah.
So it all really does tie beautifully in this chapter.
Sister Susie, what advice would you give? Because you know you're doing counseling, as the Sheikh mentioned. You know, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for stepping into this space. You know, because you're hearing, and I don't want to use the word problems. The challenges of what Allah has predestined to put in the lives of people. And you're sitting there putting yourself out there, in there as well. You know, with this, you know, Laylatul Qadr possibly coming in these last 10 days, what advice would you give to the Muslims out there that are, to the human beings in general even, that are going through these challenges? What word comes to mind? What would you tell them,
yeah,
you know, in regards to the...
So I think, you know, subhanAllah, struggles, challenges, yeah, this is true. And these are part of the tests, I think, that you know, again, the reason why that verse in Surah Al-Baqarah speaks to me so much is because surely we will be tested, and yes, all of us are tested differently. But also, you know, when we look at that chapter, at the end of the chapter, Allah Azza wa Jal reminds us, لَا يُكَلِّفَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, that surely we will not be burdened with a burden that's greater than a soul can bear. And that even though we may be tested in ways that we don't want, they are the tests that we need. And they're tests that are guiding us towards, inshallah, becoming the best version of ourselves, inshallah, coming closer to Allah. And while one test may look different than another test, we are all tested. And whatever test we are going through, it's, you know, this dunya is a drop of water on our finger compared to the ocean of akhirah. Mm-hmm. And the test will not be permanent. It will not be something that is with us forever. And when we seek the ease in the ma'al usri usra, that even within that difficulty, we seek the moments of ease. And maybe the moment of ease is that Allah sends a person that helps us through, that gives us a smile. Maybe the answer to our dua is in not necessarily a complete change in our circumstances, mm-hmm, or an absolute immediate relief to the test, but the relief comes in a different form. A kind word, you know, an ayah from the Quran that gives us comfort. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ, that surely it is but by the remembrance of Allah that our hearts find ease. And so when we look for the moments of ease, inshallah we'll find it. And we will get through those tests, whatever our tests happen to be, as large as they are, as difficult as they are, Allah promises us that He will see us through them.
SubhanAllah. JazakAllah khair. I like how you mentioned earlier the ihsan, because the fact that you're thinking about something that Allah has done for you or for others in you, that is a blessing in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And Ibn Rajab talks about that beautifully. You know, the fact of you remembering a blessing is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact of someone, you know, making it to your office, for example, yes, is a blessing. You know, a lot of times you hear, you know, the husbands don't want to come and things that, mm-hmm, we could expound upon that, not to, mm-hmm, put the husband, any shade on the husbands, but the fact of you making that
effort. You're going to have to redo this on the imam case. You're going to have to bring people. You have to rewrite the record, you know.
No, but making that effort and being patient with something that you may not want to do at that moment, you know, it's a blessing in and of itself, even though the results that you want may not be immediately there. And that's why, like how you mentioned, subhanAllah, it may come over time. You don't know where it's going to come from that's going to bring you happiness. So JazakAllah khair, is beautiful, beautiful insights.
May Allah bless you, Sister Susie, as you're thinking about this and as you're sort of giving people hope. And subhanAllah, the theme this Ramadan has been Qadr, mm-hmm, and talking, mm-hmm, about the divine decree. And you mentioned, you know, and you said it about yourself, subhanAllah, your own lost pregnancies. And how many kids do you have now, mashallah?
Three, alhamdulillah.
Three, alhamdulillah. I mean, all past high school, all grown up, yes, in their 20s, mashallah, yeah, that are, mm-hmm, may Allah protect them all, and bless your entire, mm-hmm, family. if you could think of, you know, and we'll conclude with this inshallah ta'ala, how you personally found your own calling to help people. Mm-hmm. You know, was it in a dark moment, subhanAllah, and I don't want you to get as, you know, too personal, but where did that come from?
Yeah.
And what led you to sort of do this?
Yeah. SubhanAllah, I think it's a beautiful question, because I think we all find our way and our journey to, you know, our calling, like you said, what Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed to be our purpose in this dunya. And if Allah decrees that we must go through a test in order to be able to help someone else, then that too is a blessing. And for me personally, you know, a lot of the work that I was, you know, honored to do in refugee camps, working with orphan children, children who would call me mama because they had lost their own moms. And I think it was in one of those moments where a child, and I was actually in one of the camps in Jordan with you at that time, a young child who went by the name of Juju, it was her nickname, who wasn't speaking, she was nonverbal, mm-hmm. because of seeing her parents killed before her, mm-hmm. right before I had left, her friend had turned to me and, you know, I had said, oh, you know, tell Juju to say something to me. And she said, well, my friend Jannah wants to call you mama. And Jannah was the name of our oldest daughter who had passed away in infancy. And sometimes it's a moment like that when you look back and all of the dots connect and you say, this is why Allah tested me in that way. And alhamdulillah.
May Allah bless you. May Allah grant you Jannah and allow you to find your child in front of the gates of Jannah.
Ameen. Ameen, Ya Rabbi.
Bless all of those that have struggled with loss with Jannah. Allah, allow all of us to enter into the Firdaus al-A'la and to receive that ihsan from Allah Azza wa Jal for the Firdaus al-A'la. Allahumma ameen. My final call to everyone, inshallah ta'ala, is to be a source of patience for someone else, inshallah ta'ala. Again, tawasul bil-haqq wa tawasul bil-sabr. Enjoin good and enjoying patience amongst each other within the night time. Don't just find it yourself, but be that blessing of patience to someone else and help them see that perspective the way, inshallah ta'ala, that Sister Susie and others that do this for a living are doing. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us patience. Rabbana afrigh alayna sabran wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al-qawm al-kafirin. May Allah Azza wa Jal pour it upon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be people of ihsan. Allahumma ameen. Barakallahu feekum, inshallah ta'ala. We'll see you all tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.